That was Mercy Me, and they're just one of the many groups out there that have some good songs. And there was one announcement I wanted to make. Don't forget about the Journey Conference, April 12th to 14th. There's a lot of people going. Brian Baker's going to come, and a lot of people there. And we really do have a good time, so I would encourage everybody, if you can, you know, come on up there. It's a very, very good time. It's in Pennsylvania, 2.5 hours away. So if you can make it, come on. It's just for guys, and there is a weight room, so you can work out if you want to, and we have a good time with fellowship, and it's a good time. So if you'd like to come, hey, come on. I'm going to be driving. There will be other people driving too, and it's good. Today I wanted to talk about investing, and that's why I played that. It's one of the reasons I played that song. I mean, I love the song, but we have opportunities, and our life seems to go by so fast. It just goes by so fast. And if you don't believe me, remember yesterday when you were 20? Remember yesterday when you just graduated high school? Remember yesterday, now for those of you who haven't, okay. But remember, just you look back and how it's in the blink of an eye fast. It's just like that. It's just like that. And the older you get, it seems like time goes faster, which it doesn't, but it seems like it does. So, people today, as people get older, they, you know, do investments and retirement and all this stuff. I mean, when you're little, you get an allowance, and then you'll spend your money like Junior. He buys dinosaurs, and you've never seen so many dinosaurs. I'm telling you, I went over there this morning, and he had in the living room all these dinosaurs, and it looks like the land before time. It's like, and that's where he puts his money, in dinosaurs. You get older, and you put your money into devices like iPods and all those things. And I remember with me, when I was a teenager, you do not know. You people who are living at home and working, you do not know how well you have it. When I lived at home and I worked, what I would do is save my money and buy motorcycles. And it was the best. I mean, I had no bills, save money, buy motorcycles. So that's what I did. I wasn't investing, but that's where I put my money. We all put our money with what we want to do. And then as you get older, you start to think, oh, retirement and investing in, because, you know, I won't work and I'll need X number of dollars to make it, et cetera, et cetera, which is all good. But never forget, you have never seen a U-Haul in a funeral procession, because you're not going to take it with you. The scripture gives us a way to invest in eternity. So after we die, we'll have something waiting for us. And I'd like to share today, I'm going to go through several verses. So I'm going to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15, if you want to turn there. But did you know that believers and unbelievers are judged by their works? We will be judged by our works, just as unbelievers will be judged by their works. And it's interesting to see, if you'd like to turn, 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 10, or verse 10 to 15. According to the grace of God, which is given me to as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. Then it says, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And verse 12, now If any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man, verse 13, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed by fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, if we turn and look at Revelation chapter 20, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is called what's called the judgment or the bema seat of Christ, where we all will be judged for what we have done for the Lord while we are here. And in Revelation chapter 20, it starts in verse 11. But you know, there's another judgment for people who are unbelievers. And it talks, you know, it goes through the dead, the small and great, in verse 12, will stand before the throne. They all stand there. And then it says, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds or according to their works. So they're all going to the same place, but they're judged by what they did, their deeds, their works. Because you have to have a judgment. The believers are judged by their works for reward. The unbelievers are judged by their works for a degree of punishment. Because the punishment and rewards will not be the same for Christians nor unbelievers. It's all different based on what the people have done. So, laying that as a foundation and understanding that, we can go and look at Matthew chapter 25. Look at what the Lord has done as believers. You know, now people who have never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will stand at the great white throne judgment one day. People who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will be at the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ. But that will be after we have our new bodies. After we're raptured, we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We will be in our new bodies. And we'll be judged by what we've done for the Lord. And the Lord has given everybody here who's a Christian, everybody here, he has given a gift. We'll look at turn to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. Let's go there. For it is just like a man. Now this is talking about the kingdom and what Jesus has given to those who believe. It's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. So each of us has some kind of a talent from the Lord, something we can do for the Lord, but it's based on our natural ability. I mean, everybody has different abilities. Not everybody's the same. So the Lord gives us these, as it's depicted here, talents based on our natural ability. But that doesn't leave room for boasting. If someone could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and read that, whatever we have, it comes from the Lord, be it natural ability, be it gifts from the Lord. It comes from Him. So if someone could read 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 17.
For this reason I have sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child of the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways.
That's not it.
1 Corinthians
4?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 7. Sorry, yeah. Could you read verse 7, Matt?
For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?
What do you have that you did not receive? Spiritually or naturally? How could we boast about whatever we do for the Lord, our ministry, whatever? How could we boast? We've received it. We've received our natural abilities by birth. We've received the gifts that we have from the Lord at second birth. So we can't, and boasting is excluded. It's just excluded. So he says that he talks about the talents here, and if you would turn over to Luke chapter 19, let's look at Luke. In chapter 19 of Luke, it talks about in verse 12, a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. And in some of your versions, I think King James says, occupy till I come, right? Doesn't it say occupy?
Yeah.
And that's a kind of ambiguous. I will occupy, so what do? Just sit there? No, but the idea is to do business. Do business with what the Lord has given you. And that's what he's talking about here for the slaves, to do business with whatever gift he's given you. Use it. Do business with it. Don't just sit and do nothing for the Lord. Do something for Him. Do business. And the two parables are a little bit different. Let me get a book. I just wanted to read what John and Phillips have to say about the difference in these parables, because it would seem contradictory in a way, because everyone gets the same thing. If you look further down in Luke 19, they're a little bit different. Let me just read what he says about it. He's very good. The one parable emphasizes the development of gifts, and the other parable emphasizes the common and equal responsibility that everyone had, because he called the slaves and he gave each of them 10 minas. They all got the same thing. So there are things that each of us can do that we're responsible for. I mean, each of us, we can share the gospel with people. We shine as lights among our people we work with and, you know, we're around. We all have something that we do, regardless of how gifted anybody is. We all can do the same thing, because the command is to go, you know, Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples. So we've got that. And we have, you remember in Corinthians where Paul said that we have the ministry of reconciliation. I mean, how many people today, I wonder today, I got caught in traffic on Thursday night coming home from Bible club. And I was wondering how these people do this every day. I couldn't believe it, because I don't get in traffic much, but how these people can do this every day and not be stressed out and pulling their hair out. You know, and people do it every day. The traffic is incredible, and they can't be happy. They can't be, you know, oh, this is just great. Traffic is terrible tonight. We're backed up an extra hour. I say that because I look at the, you know, these things going on. And, you know, for a Christian, of course, we can listen to some nice music or the Bible or whatever when we're in the car. But people need the Lord. And I know, you know, I look at some of the people talking and whatever they're doing. But we have the ministry of reconciliation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. We are sent from another country to the people here to, like we read this morning, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I mean, how good is that? And in Bible club on Thursday, we share verses from the scripture, and basically there are all these good promises. And it's like we have so many good promises that we don't take a hold of by faith. You know, sometimes our faith is small and we have trouble grasping them. But the Lord, you know, He's given them to us. We just need to, our faith does need to grow. But he says, you know, do business with this until I come back. And one day, when we stand before the Lord, when each one of us stands before the Lord, we'll be rewarded based on what we've done. I mean, how many people can we talk to each day and, you know, be involved with people? Just, it's all about people and relationships, and that's where so often we fall down, because sometimes it's just hard. We've had, you know, some people have come from hard backgrounds in life, and I'll never forget the time that some of the guys, we got together at my house and we were going through a book, and every guy there, me included, everyone had problems with their father. Everyone. And because of that, it's hard for us first of all, it's hard for us to understand how God really loves us and have that real foundation that God loves us. He's not like our earthly fathers. He loves us and He cares for us. But we have a hard time seeing that because of our past relationships. And it also hurts us in having relationships with other people. And that's why, you know, I've mentioned this before, but it seems like such an odd verse to me, but it makes sense where it talks about the last verse in the Bible. It says, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming great and terrible day of the Lord." And chapter 4, verse 6. "And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse." So that was the ministry of John the Baptist. Well, you know, I think, well, you know, what's the deal with that? How come, what does he want to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children? Why? Why would he do that? What's the big deal about that? Well, the big deal, from what I've seen, is, first of all, the people in the Old Testament, and today even, they get caught up in their religion, and they have a form of their religion, but their relationship with God is severed, and therefore the relationship with their children is severed. And the Lord wanted to bring, or John the Baptist brought that back in a proper relationship, the fathers, the sons, and just relationships, so that they could be right before God and relationally, and be ready for when Jesus would come and tell them what's up. And what was up when he came, the first words, it's interesting, the first words of John the Baptist was, "Repent." The first words of Jesus was, "Repent." So there was a problem with their religion, in their relationship with God. So, you know, to get that right. But I don't know how I got off on that. But I did. But anyway. So the Lord has given everyone a gift, a talent, something to do. And it's all different. Your body, your hands don't do what your feet do. And it's all different. And it's not that anyone's better than anybody. It's just we're different. The body is different, and it functions in a different way. And we each can fill in and do things where I can do things you can't do. You can do things I can't do. And it's good like that. And we can appreciate each person's gift. Like Paul, he's always here. He's working on the meeting hall and doing stuff. He works a lot more than most people know here. And that's good. I mean, we need people to do that. People, I mean, this place, we have a water leak that's still leaking, and, you know, people need to take care of that stuff. So it's good that people can do different things. And when we do different things for the Lord, we will be rewarded. Now, this is cool. This is very cool. So, if you look in 19, the one who, you know, the ones they use their mina. And what does King James say for that word mina there? What does it say? It's
talent.
Oh, it's talent. Is that in 19? Luke 19, it's a talent. Yeah. In verse 13, he gave them 10 minas.
Yeah, 10 pounds.
10 pounds. Oh, pound. Okay. 10 pounds. Okay. And do business. And then we'll skip over there. There's more application, but we don't want to get into that. In verse 16, it says, the first appeared saying, Master, your mina, or your pound, has gained 10 pounds more. And he said, well done, good slave. Because you've been faithful in a very little thing, be in authority over 10 cities. Wow, that's very interesting. Be in authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, your pound, Master, has made 5 pounds. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. And turn back to Matthew 25. The one who, it talks about, the one who had received the 5 talents in verse 16, he went and traded with them, did business, and he gained 5 more talents. The same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. And we'll skip over and go down to 21. His master said to him, well, let's go to 20. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. And his master, and then the one who had, in verse 22, received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you've entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. He did business. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And then we do, in verse 24, have the one who had received 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I didn't sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put the money to the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money with interest. Now we can discuss whether this person is truly a believer, a true slave, or a professor that they were a believer. Won't get into that. The point is, the person had a wrong appraisal of the master, which would seem to indicate they didn't know the Lord. That this person the master didn't agree with what the slave said, but the master said, oh, well, you thought I was like that? Well, why didn't you put it in the bank? You should have done that. But the point is, he didn't use it. And if we don't use what we have for the Lord, that's not good. It's good to use what we have. And we all have something. We all have something we can do, which is good. I mean, that's encouraging, because we have a tendency to look at people who are more in the public eye and think, well, they're very talented, they're full-time ministry, etc., etc. Well, that's cool. They do that, and that's good. But, you know, most of us, we don't do that. But we all have something we can do. So you see, they're in charge of many things, and one's over 10 cities, one's over 5 cities. And that's speaking of the Lord's kingdom. When the Lord comes back, when it talks about ruling and reigning with Christ, there's just a few verses in the New Testament that gives us a glimpse into what we will be doing. There's not a lot of verses. In the Old Testament with Israel, what they will be doing, there's hundreds of verses. Very, very clear. Very clear. Here, with us, it's not real clear, although it's clear enough to know that we'll have some kind of reward and we'll rule and reign with the Lord based on our service for the Lord here. Look at Matthew 19, chapter 19, verse 28. Look at the disciples, what they get. It says, Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, I'm sorry, I didn't put a comma. You who have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So in the millennial kingdom, when Jesus is ruling and reigning on the earth, the disciples will be on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Revelation 2, 26. Two, 26 and 27, it says, "And he who overcomes, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken in pieces, as also I have received authority from my Father." And we know that Jesus, spoken of Jesus in the Old Testament in Psalm, that he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. But here, the overcomer in the church of Thyatira, which it's a very bad church. It's very bad. But nevertheless, the Lord has his people in all different churches. That's why, you know, we shouldn't be quick to judge, "Oh, that church is..." No, we don't. That's not our place. The Lord has overcomers everywhere. And the overcomers here in this nasty church, they'll rule with the Lord. They'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. If you look at chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "And now this is in the church in Laodicea," which is not good either. It says, "He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." So, how good is it that we can invest in eternity? We won't have a U-Haul in our funeral procession, but that's okay. What we've done for the Lord will last. And that's why in Corinthians it says, we look at the things that are not seen, not at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen, they're just temporary. They're temporary. They pass away. But the things that are not seen, they're eternal. But it takes faith to grasp that, to see that. You know, we get caught up with, we all do. We get caught up with, you know, like, especially when you're younger, you know, you want a faster car, faster motorcycle, whatever it might be. That's, you know, and you grow out of that a little bit, but I haven't grown out of it all the way, but you kind of grow out of that a little bit as you get older. But then when you get older, you know, you want a nicer house perhaps, and more status in your job perhaps, whatever. And it's not bad. I mean, I'm not saying that this stuff is bad, because you want to climb up the ladder, so to speak, and you want to be able to make more money and all that. That's cool. But we just can never lose sight of the fact that that's not the whole deal. We got to make money. We got to pay the bills. We got to eat. We got to do all this stuff. But to look to the future, when the Lord, that's why Jesus said to the disciples, pray this way, "Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." That's the deal. And, you know, in 100 years, we're all going to be dead. What have we done for the Lord? What have we done for the Lord? And we can all do more. I mean, we can all do more. We're all in the same boat. But now, it's just, we have the opportunity, and it's encouraging to see, like, all the younger people that do the Friday night study and doing this, the Easter play, and all this stuff. And then, you know, George and Michelle, they're doing work with the high school students and all this. It's just good to do stuff for the Lord. It's just so good, because we will be rewarded. And that's an eternal reward. Remember when Peter said, "Well, what are we going to have, Lord?" And he, you know, the Lord, "You're going to have all these things." But it's future. It's now. It is now. We have families, brothers, sisters. But there's future. That's an investment that we all can make now. With what the Lord has given each of us, we can make it and be, you know, forget the stock market and all that. That's not going too far. This is eternal, and this is a much better return. So, does anyone have any questions? Any questions about anything? Was I clear? Because sometimes I'm not real clear. My wife tells me I'm not clear, which I'm not. Yeah, Phil.
It just reminds me of a verse. I can't remember where it is in the New Testament. It says, the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory
right.
that has to be revealed to us. And sometimes when I think of the rewards, like I don't get real excited about them because I just don't really understand them. But when I think of that verse, I'm like, this is going to be a lot better than anything I could possibly imagine.
Oh, yeah. It really is.
When you have that perspective, then the stuff in this world kind of loses its luster. Like, you think about what you're going to have in eternity, and that nice house and the nice car. It's like, yeah, this stuff is nice, but it's only going to happen.
And there's nothing wrong with having a nice, I mean, personally, I'd like to have a Ferrari. I think they're very cool, and they handle. They stick to the road. But it's not bad to have things, but you don't want the things to have you. You don't want the things to hold you. And, you know, you get a new car, and it's always that first scratch. Like, man, got a scratch on my new car. Like, yeah, get over it. It's a scratch, so what? You know, it's you don't want things to hold you. It's not bad to have the things. And some people have a lot of cool stuff, and that's great. But you just don't want things to hold you. Any other questions or comments? Matt?
I was going to say, what does Cherrydale as a church invest in, and what are we working to invest in the future?
Well, individually, we all know what we do in the future. Well, good question. That's a good question, Matt. What are we investing in at Cherrydale for the future? What's in other words, what you're saying is, what's our vision? Reminds me of Bobby. And that's good. What is our vision at Cherrydale for the future, like for the Easter play? You know, personally, I'm not real hot on plays. Seen them, been there, done it. It's for unbelievers. Or a Christmas play. It's great for unbelievers. So we can invite people to that. That's one thing we do. What are some other things we do? Don't let me talk. What do we see?
Well, the thing that should be flashing a big red light on this is we clearly are investing in the youth.
Right.
From the Friday night to what's being done downstairs right now.
Right.
Whether this is something that Cherrydale has come out of the body and said, this is what we'll do, or whether people are just taking the lead and doing it.
Yeah, that's...
It's being done.
Right, and that's encouraging to see, you know, some people have the concept, I think, and I could be wrong, but have the concept that it's all got to come from the elders. No, it doesn't have to come from the elders. Like Susan and Jenny, they want to do this thing with the kids. Go for it. Do it. Do stuff. Just do stuff. And it's good when it comes from everybody who wants to do it. The Friday night meeting, it's happening. People are doing things. And it's just good. And, you know, as always, we, you know, personally, I talk to people sometimes at work a little bit, and I'm studying Orthodoxy, which is quite interesting. Greek. There's a guy who's a Greek Orthodox, and I've kind of engaged with him, and I've read all this stuff. I learned lots of stuff, and just to engage him, to try to show him the Lord, not try to say, "Man, you're wrong. This is like way off from the Bible. I don't want to do that." I want to just try to draw him to the Lord somehow. And not prove that I'm right. Because sometimes we get in these things where I'm right and I'm going to prove it. I don't want to do that. He needs to know the Lord. And our people, the people we work with or go to school with, they need to know the Lord. And sometimes we'll know people who die and they don't have another chance. Like I share at the nursing home all the time. Today is a day of salvation. You know why today is a day? You know why today? Because you might be dead tomorrow. We had a lady at work. On the grounds crew. She's working, doing an aneurysm. She was dead. I mean, it happens that quick. And you'll know people through high school who go do stupid things typically and they die. And then there's no more chance for them. So we have opportunities wherever we are. It doesn't matter where we are. We all have opportunities. So just keep making investments. And I know I didn't answer all your questions. But it's just good, and we appropriate the study. It's by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And that's the good thing. And people who are not Christians, if they heard this, they might think, well, that all sounds kind of good, but they couldn't really get a handle on it. But it's good to have an idea of what your gift is and be working in the context of that gift. Any more questions? Mike.
Well, I mean, everyone who teaches a Sunday school class, whether for adults or for children, they're investing in their own spiritual life, but also they're investing in the spiritual lives of all those that teach.
Right. That's good. That's good. Well, that's all I have. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us instruction in every area of our life and help us to by faith get a hold of all the things you've said and that we've gone over today. And thank you that we can do things for you today. And thank you that one day you will reward each believer for what they've done here. Amen.